This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's our guy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Love talking to him, Ray Fittipaldo. He covers this football team. Good morning to you, Ray. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're good. Ray, Excellent. Are you traveling to Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm hopping on a flight around noon today. This will be my first trip to Minnesota since I covered Penn State and the Gophers. I want to say like 2002 or 2003. It's been a while since I've been there.
Wow, great stuff. You're going to enjoy it. It's wonderful out there. Did you hear it's like 59 degrees, I believe, in Minneapolis today?
Is it really?
No, it's not. Not at all.
Take
not
the even close.
Yeah, so. Not Come even. On, you got my hopes up.
Not even close. Nope. It was 6 degrees this morning. I looked. Okay. All right. What did you glean from last week? And I guess let's take it from one side of the ball. What did you glean from the Steelers' offense? And I guess I'll push it even forward. Can the Steelers run more no huddle? And what's the logic behind why they wouldn't?
I think they can, and I think they should do it more in the first halves of games. You know, Matt Canada was asked about it yesterday, and I think Matt, and Mike did this on Tuesday as well, to kind of like tamp down the storyline that it was all Ben doing it by himself. And Matt wouldn't even call it the no huddle yesterday. He wanted to call it going with pace. But however you want to frame it, the Steelers are by far more successful when they are not huddling than when they are huddling. I crunched the numbers. They averaged like 8 yards per play in the no huddle on Sunday against the Ravens, and it was really only like 4.5 or 4.6 yards per play when they were huddling. So, I think it's a way to overcome these slow starts too. Instead of being behind, you know, the way you were against the Chargers and having to go to it out of necessity, and they didn't do it out of necessity against the Ravens. They kind of did it to keep their personnel off the field on third downs. But like I said, however you want to look at it, it's been really good for them in two of the past three games. And I wouldn't be surprised at all on a short week if they went to it again on Thursday night.
Well, what was interesting to me too, Ray, is that we went back and looked, and five of the final six plays that were officially tagged no huddle were run plays. You know, we become so traditionally conditioned to thinking no huddle means Ben and five wide receivers or Ben and empty set, and he's just stepping back and slinging it. It told me something that, especially on a day where they were only averaging about 3 yards a carry, they still stuck with it, and Ben was still, you know, doing what Canada wants him to do, essentially counting the box, deciding where the strength was on the defense, and then attacking the weakness.
Yeah, there was a 13-yard run by Najee in there. There were some other positive runs. There was a 40-yard pass to Claypool. There were a couple of other, like, 7-8-yard gains to Deontay Johnson in there. So it was effective when they ran the ball. It was also effective when they threw the ball, too. But, I'm with you. I think it just keeps the defense, if you're gassing them and you're driving down the field on them, it's something where you're not able to catch your breath. And I thought they kind of wore down the Ravens' defensive line in that game. And, you know, looking at the numbers going into that game, you know, Steelers like 28th in rushing. I think the Ravens went into that game with the second-ranked run defense in the NFL. So you wouldn't think that would have happened, but the Steelers were very effective in the way they ran that ball, especially late in the game.
Ray, what was remarkable to me on Sunday was how the defense was able to hold up even though the offense was on the field for about 2 minutes in the entire first half. I'd never seen anything quite like it. and they were really, I mean, I don't know how the defense held up and then got better as the game went along.
Well, it helped that TJ was out there. I mean, that guy is a phenomenal football player. But, I mean, let's give some credit to Montrevious Adams, and let's give credit to that pro personnel staff for knowing where that guy was, to pluck him off the Saints practice squad and for him to come in and play the way he did. That was very impressive. And if you listen to Mike Tomlin on Tuesday, they think they might have found something there. You know,
his face lit up when right? It did. You couldn't see that necessarily. I guess you could see it on TV, right? But he really did. He got genuinely excited when his name came up.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Tyson Alulu is under contract for next year. I think they'll, assuming that ankle is okay, I think they'll bring him back. But, you know, Adams potentially could be, a guy that you could lean on, even if it's as a depth piece, you know, in 2022, assuming they can find a way to sign him again. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. T.J. Watt was, whenever he plays like that, you're going to be in a football game and you're going to have a great chance to win. But there's a lot of other players who kind of stepped up and kind of unsung heroes in that game. So I thought Adams was number one in that category. They were really struggling against the run. And it's not like they shut down the Ravens, but he gave them enough in the middle of that defense that they took some small steps forward. And if they can continue to do that, I think it'll be, much better development for the defense down the stretch here when they need it as the playoffs approach.
Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. That number is 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I want to step back from the micro and look at the macro, look at the big picture for something. So Ben Roethlisberger and others, I'm not pointing it just at Ben, I'm pointing at a lot of players. Man, when there's a Thursday night game, they like to tell you just how taxing on the body it is. And it is. I understand concerns of NFL players in regard to Thursday night football, Ray. The league cares most about money, and that is true. Now, we're going to have labor peace all the way until 2030. But instead of complaining in December about it, why don't these players do something when it's CBA time? It seems like they like to bellyache about it while it's happening. But when it's boardroom time, why doesn't anybody say, wait a minute, stop the ride? We're not playing Thursday night football. They seem to like the riches, but don't like it when it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, Colin, it's just one of those things they like to complain about, but it's never been a bargaining chip for them when it comes to negotiating the CBA. I mean, if you look at the most recent negotiations, the thing they want is, you know, take care of our retired players better, the health care, all that type of stuff. I mean, does this fall under health care? Yeah, I mean, it's not good for your body, and it's probably not good for head injuries that you're going out there and playing on 4 days rest. But when Fox or whoever, Amazon, is paying them millions or even billions of dollars to add this to their network package, they're going to take it. So, I mean, Jim was down there this week. He knows it. They did not practice Monday. Yesterday was an hour walkthrough, and then they're going to get on a plane. There's almost no physical preparation for a game like this. It's all mental. So sometimes these Thursday night games can be bad because of that, but, you know, sometimes,
I hope they take your credential for reporting on the intimate nature of practice.
I don't think they care that it was an hour long, but
we'll find out later.
It was only early. There was only a month left.
You bring up a good point, though, about the quality of football, Ray, about the quality of Thursday night games. And look, I get it. And this is the other part of it, too, that the Derek Tuskas, the Buddy Johnsons, you know, the Cody Whites or Kalen Balazs of the league, the guys at the bottom of the roster, they'll play on Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning in a Walmart parking lot because they're just trying to get as much as they can while they're in the league. We don't hear anything from those guys, and those guys don't talk to the media a lot these days given the way things are, but you hear it from the veterans. You hear it from a guy who's been in the league for over 15 years, from Ben Roethlisberger, who understandably just doesn't want to play on 3 days rest.
Yeah. I mean, they don't play on Fridays, I don't think, because of high school football, and they don't play on Saturdays because of college football, and they'll start playing on Saturdays, I think, in another week or two. That sometimes those are games that, you know, the networks kind of they want those games before the season starts. But Thursday's the best option if you want to have a big lucrative TV package. Thursday's going to be the day because you're never going to want to go up against college football on Saturday, even on a Friday too, which would just be one extra day. So I understand why they do it. I understand why the players complain. But, yeah, to Colin's point, do something about it at CBA time, but I don't think they ever will.
You know, Ray, what do you make of Akello Witherspoon, who, you know, we talked to him this week, and he brought up, and Keith Butler kind of said this too, that, you know, we saw him against Henry Ruggs. He was getting spot play, got burnt, and didn't play much since. And all of a sudden he gets in for almost the entire game by necessity and played really well. Is it just a matter of him being around long enough, learning the defense and playing faster? And are we going to see that again on Thursday?
I think we will see that again on Thursday. And, you know, Keith Butler mentioned that when he arrived, there wasn't a sense of urgency with Witherspoon. And then Keith was kind of pressed on it. And then he says, well, it wasn't done to motivate him, but, you know, he just kind of played it off. So I don't know what happened in September when he arrived, but it's great for the Steelers that, you know, he's finally come around. You know, James Pierre was struggling a little bit. Played really poorly against the Bengals. And to have another option like that in your reserves, you know, a guy who's started a lot of games in the NFL, has played a lot, that, you know, that certainly is nice to have. Now, he almost had an interception against the Ravens, ended up batting it down as well. And it wasn't just Witherspoon either. The Ravens did not have any big plays in the passing game. The longest pass against them was 29 yards to Mark Andrews, and that was early in the game. So both Witherspoon, Sutton, all those guys in the secondary did a really good job against Lamar Jackson, who I admit isn't a great passer and played terribly in that game. But still, in an NFL game, if you're giving up, your longest gain is 29 yards, you're doing something right.
All right, Raymond, we're going to welcome you into this exercise before we let you go. We did this earlier today. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people on social media weighed in on this. You hear this term, you couldn't pay me enough to live there. Have you heard somebody say that kind of off the, kind of as a figure of speech? You couldn't pay me enough to live there. And you're headed to a place that's going to be very cold, okay?
Yes, yes.
Is there anywhere in the lower 48 of the United States where if I paid you $1 million a year, you just flatly wouldn't live? You'd say you couldn't pay me enough to live there.
No, for $1 million, I'd live anywhere in the lower 48. Now, if you want to talk about like Alaska and like, you know, what's that called up there, Nanook or, you know, wherever
Nunavut
it is.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that might be a little bit of a struggle. I'm not going to be like the Alaskan. What's that show like on National Geographic?
Alaskan Bush People or whatever?
Bush
yes.
People, yeah.
Oh, there
I
you
don't
are.
Know if you could pay me $1 million to do that, but lower 48, absolutely.
South Dakota, North Dakota, Ray could do it?
Yeah, you could. You got a computer. You can work from anywhere now, right?
Wyoming, Montana, Idaho.
Got to have an internet connection, Ray.
Anywhere. $1 million a year, I'll take it.
Middle of West Texas where there's nothing. You got to drive 80 miles to get to a Walmart. Ray could do it.
I'll do it. Maybe not southern West Virginia, but other than that, I think just.
Connellsville?
Ray Fittipaldo,
Ray, could
not
you live
a fan
in
Connellsville?
Could you live in Connellsville for $1 million?
I could live in Connellsville, yes.
Okay.
I could live in Carmichael's. I could live in Mapletown. I could live in all these places.
Okay. All right, Ray. Thank you much. You're so wonderful. Have a safe trip, and we mean that, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ray.
Mapletown. Mapletown. Ray could live down there in Mapletown.
Not a problem.
No, not a problem.
You can buy a pretty big spread probably for, you know,
I don't know. I'm
making $1 million.
You know, we mention all these places all the time. At some point, we're going to have to go and have shows and all these. We should
Well, I ended up with a closet full of Avella apparel.
Yes.
Yeah.
We should actually do a fan morning show small town tour.
That would
at
be
some
something.
Point. I think that wouldn't be the worst idea. Just go to Mapletown.
Yep.
What are some of the Avella, Hunker? If we can.
Oh, Hunker.
Yeah.
There's a sign for Hunker.
Hunker,
right,
right off of yes, off that
we
way.
We should find the smallest places we can.
Yeah, that they can hear our show.
There's got to be like a little place in Fayette County with like 75 people that lives in it.
Go to all those kind of places. Go to that little diners in those places.
Uh-huh.
You probably a rock star in those places, Jim. I'm out of all of us who work, you're undoubtedly the biggest person. Like the
most major person.
Rural areas?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
They know your love of country music.
I wonder how they feel about Ron in places like Mapletown or Avella or, you know.
It's one extreme or the other.
Green
There's
County.
Nowhere in the middle.
How do they feel about Ron when you went to Waynesburg? Did people mention him much, like in the journalism circles, producer Matt?
Not necessarily.
No?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like nobody like hated Ron, but it just didn't come up all that often.
He didn't move the needle, if you will?
Not really.
No, didn't register? Okay. All right. I don't know. I don't know. I'm honestly.
Starkey's a star down there, though, because he's teaching.
He is.
At Waynesburg.
Well, there's a little buttering up happening. In case they have him for class, they got to kind of be nice to him. Yeah. What does he teach at
I think it's a writing. I think it's a feature writing class.
Oh.
Pretty sure.
Does Starkey have the heart to fail people?
Yeah.
He does?
I bet he's a big stickler on attendance.
Like,
I don't know.
You know what? We may need to ask him that. Is he in the build? Oh, we're going to have Whaley in the 9 o'clock hour.
He's off.
Joe's off.
That's right.
Joe's off again today.
And tomorrow.
Next
I think
week.
He's back Friday.
Let's write that down. Let's bring him in for a segment. And I want to find out. I want his syllabus. I want to find out what his class is all about. I want to see if you're a student, what I can get away with, what I can't. Because Starkey, admittedly, wasn't the greatest college student. He went to 14 different schools.
Right. Went to every branch of SUNY.
He smoked anything that he could find that he could roll and drank anything that was too thin to eat. So I don't know if he can really be a stickler. I mean,
it's like
Thornton Mellon being the professor.
You think Joe's one of those guys, like you could get him, he would have a plan for a class, but if you asked him a certain kind of question, he'd go completely off on a tangent?
Yes.
That's what the
I
Cook and Joe show is.
That's true. You think he sings?
Solid point, Matt. Solid point.
You're right about that. I think he's also one of those professors at the end of the semester. Hey, professor, come out and have a beer. And then you find him laying in an alley at 5 in the morning with vomit all over his chest that you just took him out to. Like, and he realized he can't hang with those kids anymore. Yeah, I think
you
get
anymore.
Into that.
I think Joe's cleaned that part up.
Yes, maybe. You might catch him, though. Maybe the wife's out of town. So, you know, you might get Joe on an off night and just get him to go out, and he realizes he's way in the deep end real quick.
This is a disaster.
This is an unmitigated disaster, Horace.
And he's singing like an Animal House. He's singing that mellow tune.
Bishop.
That's
enough. Plutarski smashes the guitar.
Jim, I got to ask you about something that was said at practice yesterday. Yeah, that's coming up next.
Fear this was coming.
Well, it's here. All right, give a listen to this, because I was having a hard time understanding exactly what was said, but you need to decode this, Jim.
Like I said, those guys deserve a lot of credit for being able to get on the moving train, like you said, and make plays for us.
Oh, I'm sorry, TJ, you must have seen like a ton of different...
This better be a good one here.
That kind of sucks. That's my question, too.
Unabated the interview subject. Yeah.
No, you must have. See, now I forgot my question.
Oh, geez. So you interrupted him, then you forgot your question, Jim?
No, I didn't. I just said that. But he was. I was on one side. It's like there's a line of people. Like you're in the middle. If you're the interview subject's in the middle, and then there's a line of people on one side, a line of people on the other. And the question, I believe, from Will Graves came from the other side.
Yes.
of the aisle, so to speak. And so he's facing that direction, and I thought I couldn't really hear him. The train's going by and everything, and I thought he had stopped. I thought he had finished answering the question that was asked.
The moving train he was talking about was literally going right by.
Yeah, and then I honestly had no idea what everybody was laughing about and what I had done. I honestly didn't, and then because I just couldn't hear, and you know, everything continued. And it was fun, and everybody had everybody's in a good mood because they won the other night, and whatever, But after when the interview broke up and they walked away, Brian Batko was standing next to me.
Right.
He goes, he actually said, he goes, what did Jim do that was so funny? So he had the same, he couldn't hear. He was the same way I was. I think Ray was right next to me, too. It was just kind of weird. But, another Jimbo lighthearted moment.
I don't know how many people get away with that, with the lighthearted response from TJ.
I like it. I like it that
Jimbo gets away with it.
There's reverence there. He understands the nobility that surrounds Jim.
Yeah, but he's not, it's funny because just when you're starting to get to know a guy like that, then the access went away, like for two seasons now. So it's not like you could go up to and talk to him in the locker room like you used to.
He knows you're a G, though.
Well, like, he just says I'm a weird old dude who's been around for a long time.
He let you interrupt him, and he didn't.
And then he answered my question.
And he joked with you about it.
Yes, he did.
Said this better be good.
Right.
So there you go, Jim. I like it. He's got to like it. I mean, come on. You're the dean over there.
Well, he had 3.5 sacks the last game,
I mean, he should be happy.
After the Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, he came back too soon. That's my theory.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you for your theory. All right, speaking of coming back, who's going to come back and play quarterback for the Steelers next year? CBS put something out. Is this all just an exercise in futility because most of these names, if not all of them but one, don't make any sense because one guy makes a lot of sense, at least in terms that the Steelers are concerned. We get into that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, CBS put a list together. Check it out, CBSSports.com. And who are the people most apt to succeed Ben Roethlisberger? Look at the most likely Ben Roethlisberger successors. There's seven of them. I'll go through the list and read them real quick, and then we can kind of diagnose each of them. They list Rodgers, Pickett, Russell Wilson, Matt Corral, Malik Willis, Mason Rudolph, and Carson Strong. I don't think I missed anybody. I think that's seven names there. Rodgers, okay, he's 38. He plays exceptionally well. Is there a money issue? I don't know. The cap's going up. There's going to be a want issue, though. He's also going to want to bring Davante Adams with him, one would think. The Steelers could maybe afford both of them, but I don't know. I don't know if that's a match made in heaven or not.
He's also not going to want to play behind an offensive line that might get him killed. So as much as we talk about the baby steps forward this line has taken, I don't think as it's currently constituted, Aaron Rodgers would want to play behind it.
Right.
No, plus there's the cost of getting him.
Right.
Right, if you had to trade for him. But I think what the
he's going to have to take a Brady-type deal in order for that to happen. I think. You know, it'll be something like that. All right, second guy, Pickett. Now, there's a lot of different sways on where he could be drafted, where he couldn't be drafted, and it also comes down to the Steelers, would they want to go with a draft pick or would they want to go with a free agent? I mean, that's a big deal, too. This is all provided Roethlisberger's not coming back, that report is true, that he's not going to come back, and that they like Pickett as an NFL quarterback. I mean, that's another fact.
I still stand by my belief that I think it's better for Kenny Pickett to end up somewhere other than Pittsburgh. Because I think the expectations would be a little too high for him out of the gate right here because of what people have seen from him.
Like, for me, geographics and team, they don't have anything to do with it. Like, that's just my thought on all of it. It's not a factor in any of it. I just think they look at it and they say, does he fit our system? Would we rather go free agency route or would we rather draft? And do we think he'd be a good Steeler quarterback? No matter if he spent 4 years, 6 years, whatever, playing for the team next door or not. I mean, I don't know. Pickett, I think, would fit what they want to do.
I think he does. He's mobile enough. You know? I mean, he's not – he's mobile enough and he can throw.
Russell Wilson, that to me is – I don't know. It would depend on Wilson deciding to, one, leave Seattle. He's earlier – in his earlier 30s. And so he – but he might be looking for another bigger payday than what the Steelers could offer.
And like Rodgers, as Jim pointed out, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny to Seattle – and they can't afford to give up a ton of draft compensation if they want to continue to rebuild the offensive line.
Well, and they're going to have to pay Deontay Johnson at some point, Minkah Fitzpatrick, if they decide they want to do that. They can't get in a bidding war for a guy like Russell Wilson. Matt Corral, I've watched Matt Corral. You know, I like Matt Corral's game, and he's projected to be taking as high as number 3. He could slide all the way to 15. One thing that scares me about Matt Corral is he's 6 feet. I mean, he's not this guy you think that is that big time, huge. I don't know how much that I trust Matt. If it came down to Matt Corral or Kenny Pickett,
I'd take Pickett.
For me, it's a push, like at best. It's not like I've seen and what I've seen from Matt Corral that he is this sure bet great NFL quarterback or even starter. Like,
right.
I don't see the disparity or the difference much.
I didn't see enough from him down the stretch, especially.
Yeah.
He seemed to fall off a bit there in the last month.
Well, there's two quarterbacks of that stature that were noteworthy in Drew Brees' case, and the other one's Wilson. Wilson's not very big.
Correct. But those are exceptions to the rule, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And now Malik Wilson at Liberty. He started off his career at Auburn. He was good. I watched a couple Liberty games. He's a mid to late first round pick for me, maybe falls into the second round. I don't think he's somebody that you look and you circle and you go, that in the Steelers should be in this position probably. That's our quarterback for a decade.
Here's where the only way I think Malik Willis makes sense is if
I
they
say Wilson, I meant Willis. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I think if they are absolutely gung-ho on we're going to give Rudolph a year or Rudolph and or Haskins a year, and they would be willing to bring Willis in and get him coached up, right, refine him, then that could make sense. Because, again, we're talking about a mobile guy who's wonderfully athletic. You want to compete in a division against Lamar Jackson, that might make sense.
Carson Strong at Nevada. He's big. He looks big. He is big. He can wing it downfield, but he can't move. I watched a couple Nevada games, and it's really odd for a Nevada quarterback, and when you think of Nevada quarterbacks, to be able to get out and wiggle around and do all kinds of – he can't do that.
He's not Kaepernick. Just, yeah.
No, not at
Tomlin's
all.
Tomlin's not going to go for that.
No.
Based on
what he's been saying.
He's
exactly the opposite of what Tomlin says about a mobile quarterback. I mean, the kid is wiry, and he's probably 6'5", 220 pounds, but he can put on weight, but he just – I don't see him outside the tackle box do anything.
And the refinement that we talked about Willis needing – Strong's going to need almost as much of that as well coming from Nevada, and doesn't have the athletic ability to get him out of trouble when he does find himself in a bad spot.
So where this begins, does it end? The last guy on this list, is it right back to Mason Rudolph being your quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2022?
I think it does. And look, he may get unseated at some point by Dwayne Haskins if he plays really poorly. They may see him play just well enough to be, you know, a 9-8 wild card team because of the defense on the other side of the ball from him. But I think it's a year of Mason Rudolph getting an opportunity to hold on to the gig.
I think it's going to be – they'll bring in a veteran free agent, one of those guys. Like I kind of liked our list better, right?
Mariota.
The Mariotas, like Daltons of the world.
Well, not Dalton. That doesn't excite me at all.
Oh, it doesn't excite anybody, but you're talking about a veteran stopgap to back up the guy who may not cut the mustard.
Yeah, but you know, but that's that mobility thing with Dalton. I mean,
sure.
You know, he's a veteran. He can slide around in the pocket, but I don't think that's – you know, an answer.
When I think mobility, I think Mason Rudolph.
Good point.
So that's true. And, you know, and then Haskins is hanging around too, but I, you know, I'll stand by what I said all along in training camp.
Tell us what you saw at practice, Jim.
I haven't seen anything from the guy.
More. Tell us more.
Get in trouble. Come on. Do it.
Ray already broke the news that yesterday was a glorified walkthrough.
I know, right?
But I don't think they're – based on what I've seen, it's a limited sample size, obviously, but I haven't seen anything from Haskins. I really haven't.
No.
And I don't think – I don't know how much more the coaches have seen than I have.
We're going to go round and round and round and round, and we're going to come right back to where we are. I think that the bridge quarterback may end up being the quarterback they thought was the franchise quarterback. Rudolph may end up being the bridge quarterback to a first-round quarterback.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all.
That might be and ended up – he may play his way from the quarterback of the future to the quarterback of the now.
I think he's already done that by virtue, again, of the Detroit game especially. He turned himself from maybe that's the future guy to that's the bridge who gets an opportunity maybe to prove something to us next year, but that's all he's going to get is an opportunity.
Keep it warm for Djurkovic. Here we go.
Well, hey, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But the interesting part of that list that when they went down the places, the people that have projected Kenny Pickett
right
anywhere from third to like 24th, something along those lines. It's really
– Well, it's based on need, right? Not everybody on list is going to need a quarterback, but then also how you see him fitting in your offense too.
It depends on how much you've seen Pickett play firsthand. I really believe that. The more you've seen him play firsthand – I think the higher you've probably got him on your board, because some of the stuff he's done this year has been remarkable. I think if you're one of those guys who watches cut-ups or clips, and I'm not saying that's not the way to go at this point, especially with a lot of these mock drafts that come from every single website on the internet, I think you're probably more inclined to go with guys from bigger schools, your Corrals, for example.
In fairness, though, too, and I really like Kenny Pickett, but it's also how you grade the opposition. You know, there are some people that'll put weight into the ACC and say it's good football. There are also some people who say, I can take a lesser production from the SEC because it's much harder to move the football in the SEC than it is against Wake Forest or than it is against Virginia or whomever.
I totally get that, but I'll take Kenny Pickett's 42 TDs in the ACC over Corral's 20 or whatever it ended up being in the SEC.
Doug Whaley, top of the hour. We're going to talk Pitt, but I saw this story that's unbelievable. And I don't know how everybody else feels about this, everybody being you guys and everybody listening, but it seems like there's got to be a different solution here, at least my opinion. So this New York Post story this morning, okay? Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania is a very prestigious school, right? So they've got this swimmer that is absolutely annihilating all these records. A 22-year-old transgender swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania, Penn, okay? Continued her dominant performance this season, setting numerous pool, meet, and program records, 3-day event in Ohio this past weekend. Leah Thomas blew away her competition Friday night, 500 freestyle preliminaries at the Zippy Invitational at the University of Akron. There you are, Jim, Zips, got it.
I get it, yeah.
In the finals, she notched a winning time of 4:34.06, 4 minutes, 34 seconds, 600th of a second. Not good enough for a new Ivy League record. The swimmer continued smashing records on Saturday with a nearly 7-second victory in the 200 free in an event that is 1 minute and 41 seconds long.
That's a huge
by
margin
7
of victory.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Representing the fastest finish in the country, the school said. Over the weekend, Thomas also set a new program meet and pool record in the 1650-yard freestyle. I didn't know that was an event. Finished in 15 minutes 59 seconds. Man, you got to swim for a long time there. 38 seconds ahead of the second-place finisher. Now, here's the story. Before her transition, Thomas competed in 2 full seasons at Penn as a man.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA's rules mandate at least 1 year of testosterone suppression treatment to be eligible to compete as a woman. She told the Penn newspaper, "Swimming is a huge part of my life and who I am. I've been a swimmer since I was 5. Being trans has not affected my ability to do the sport, and being able to continue is very rewarding." Okay, there's your story. Now, this is one of those things where people always have to take one side or the other. All the way here, all the way there. They want to yell and scream about this in society. Am I permitted to be accepting of one's lifestyle but not think they should be permitted to compete in athletics on the women's team? Like, is that allowed? Because that's where I am.
I hope so, because that's me. That's unfair for her to compete. It's just not right.
I think it's also very unfair to the opponents who are women that trained to get to that point. Very unfair. Like, that's who it's most unfair to, are the people who really trained and busted their ass, and then all of a sudden, here is essentially, for me, a man competing against
them. I'd like to know. And again, I don't know where it came from, and it doesn't say in this story, where this NCAA rule of 1 year of what they call testosterone suppression treatment, where did that come from? Is there a proven scientific study that tells me that's enough of a time period where this makes it, I guess, more of a level playing field, right? If you tell me that, then I have no problem with this. I don't. I know a lot of people will, and that's okay. I mean, everybody's got their difference of opinion on this, but if the NCAA has that rule for a reason, because they've done some sort of scientific study or have been privy to one that says, yes, that's a long enough period of time where that person is essentially competing on a level playing field, then I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I see.
It doesn't seem right to me.
It's dead wrong to me.
I just, maybe at some point, I don't know. I mean, like a separate category. You know what I mean? It's that doesn't seem fair. You're right about that, Colin. The people that haven't looked it up enough to see, like, when you beat a record by 7 seconds, and I don't know what people like Katie Ledecky for.
Well, here's another reason why this one comes into focus too. This isn't an obscure school in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota or Idaho, that nobody heard of. This is the University of Pennsylvania. University of Pennsylvania is thought of as a school that's very prestigious, that's very forward-thinking, that's good at athletics, you know? And it's a school that, you know, you don't say, oh, wow, they're doing this, and wow, this is Penn. I mean, Penn is a big-time academic and a decently athletic institution for an Ivy League institution. And I look at this and I go, I can't believe, and again, a pretty liberal thinking institution, but I can't believe there were people at Penn who didn't say, well, wait a minute. Like, I'm on the women's swim team. They're taking my spot. Like, okay, I put myself in the shoes of someone who's, if I had a daughter who was competing,
mm-hmm.
either on this person's team, on this young woman's team, or against this young woman. I would say, and now they're 22, so they're adults, so they don't need their parents, but I would say, wait a minute. Like, what the hell is going on here? That was a man 2 years ago. They have an inborn and innate and physical advantage. If this was minors and my daughter is out there competing, I say, that kid isn't allowed to be in the same bracket as my kid, and if they are, like, we're going home. We're not, what are we doing here? This is a mockery.
I guess I'm in the minority here. I just look at it. Leah Thomas is a woman, right? And so Leah Thomas competes, and the NCAA allows her to compete against other women. If she had not finished 7 seconds ahead in the 200 meter or whatever it was, and we're not routinely beating other competitors, would we even be talking about it?
No, we wouldn't. But it still, for me, wouldn't be any less unfair. I wouldn't like it anymore. If you are born a certain sex, then I feel, and I'm not any sort of scientist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not schooled in this. I feel as if this, people are afraid to say no because they're afraid to piss people off. They're afraid to be stigmatized. We have totally now flipped this where we're afraid to say how we feel about issues.
Oh no.
Because we're afraid to offend people here. And I feel like there are a lot of people who agree with me that are afraid of being canceled, that are afraid to be told, you can't say that. I don't disagree at all with this person's lifestyle. They're free to comport themselves
right.
and carry themselves and be what they want to be. I disagree that they can push that into athletic competition.
See, I don't see if you're allowing that person and you're recognizing that person has...
Because they have hormonal and... physiological advantages.
Okay. And again, I don't know how this year of testosterone suppression treatment works. I'll be honest, I'm not that well versed in the transgender world and how that transition takes place.
Well, who among us is?
No one in this room anyway.
Right.
But I think we're trying to have an honest conversation about it, which is important. And I think, look, Colin, I don't seek to cancel anybody, and I'm not saying you were levying that at me. I don't seek to cancel anybody who has that opinion of, well, why is this woman who used to be a man just 2 years ago now able to compete with women? I understand the questions about it. I do. But if the NCAA says, you know what? She's been through the testosterone suppression treatment, and that is enough for us that she is a woman now. She can compete with women. Then I don't have a problem with that.
Make it basketball and see the reaction. This is swimming. So it's an obscure, not obscure, but it's not as high profile mm-hmm. of a sport. Let somebody compete in men's basketball and be a pretty decent, and this person was a good male swimmer.
Yeah.
Okay. Let somebody compete for a men's basketball team. Okay. And then say, you know what? I'm going to go through this same treatment, and then let's make it proportionate, the success they're having. And they're going out and they're getting 40 some a night for a women's Division I basketball team and crushing everybody. And I'm going to tell you, the outcry in this country would be different. It would be totally different if it was basketball or if they were a baseball pitcher. And then they went out and no one could hit them. They struck everybody out and hit 3 home runs a game in women's softball. But especially in basketball, the most high-profile women's sport that there is in the NCAA, people would be very vociferous about this if it was basketball.
And there are people, and I see this coming in because naturally we talk about a hot-button issue like this. It comes in on the text line. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, no. She has decided she is a woman now. She's gone through the transition, right? According to what I'm reading from the story in the Post. So it's not like this is a man saying, I think I'm a woman now. I'm going to go swim in those female competitions. This is someone who's gone through everything that's been asked of them to transition genders.
Well, it just doesn't seem right to me. I respect the opinion of you and everybody
who feels that way, Jim. I do. That's your opinion, and I respect it. I know people I'm very close with who feel the same way. I look at it, and again, maybe I'm in the minority here. I look at it as the NCAA has approved it.
Right.
I'm okay with it.
I just have to read more about, although you suppressed the testosterone to this point, how much of an advantage do you have considering there was already testosterone that had been gained in the 22 years before
you did that?
I totally
get that. And that I understand. And I, like I said, I'd want to see more scientific evidence as to how you determine 1 year of hormone suppression actually affects the competitive advantage.
I'd like to ask swimmers what they think, if people that would speak willingly on this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.